Good morning, Tuolumne Community Baptist Church and all my people out in podcast land. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. Happy New Year. We're in a new year. I'm so excited. I know you missed me last week. I missed you guys too. My wife and I went on a little vacation, went all the way down to Southern California and spent a few days out in Joshua Tree National Park. What a gorgeous place. I'd never been in that side of California's high desert. And man, is that ever amazing. Highly recommend it. I want to go back. But nevertheless, it's good to take time. It's good to get rested and refreshed, and I do feel that. I'm excited to get back. We finished the book of Acts on the last Sunday of 2021. And now we're going to move into something new that God has kind of directed me. It's nothing new about it at all. It's something that we need, and we need to really look at again and look at it intently, and that is our faith. Maintaining our faith through these very difficult times, you know, it can be a real challenge. We can find ourselves thinking, what are you up to, God? How could you allow this to happen, this person to die, this person to be taken? How can that be, God, when I was praying that that wouldn't happen? Well, you know, his ways are not our ways, and our thoughts are certainly not his thoughts. But don't let that scare you. God is in control. Our nation is in trouble, both spiritually and mentally, and everything about our country is seemingly going in the wrong direction. But what you don't see, that I do, I see churches coming together. Denominations that have never sat together, coming together, realizing that we serve one true mighty God, and we're together in this, and we're tearing down the denominational lines. The church is coming together. You may not see it, but I do, and I'm excited about it. So God bless you. I'm glad to be back. I hope you enjoy today's message. I have a feeling this is going to go, it's a standalone message, but I have a feeling it's going to go for maybe a month or so, because God has a lot to say about our faith. God bless you. I hope you enjoy the message. Let me get started. Instead of just talking to you, let me really talk to you. So while we were away, I did a fair amount of praying. You know all those times when you were in the house with your mom and I was out in the trailer? A lot of that was spent praying and asking God, where do you want me to go? We just finished the book of Acts, and Father, thank you. It was so incredible to me. I hope it was to you. It was incredible. Where do you want me to go? And do you want me to continue on a verse-by-verse study? I'm happy to do whatever you want me to do. And he said, I got something for you. So I'm going to do a standalone message, but I have a feeling it's going to go on for weeks. And you know me, if you know me, you know that I don't read a lot. Yes, I read the Word of God, but I struggle with reading books. I still struggle with my reading ability. But the Lord led me to a book that I've had down in my little library in my office for a long time. Powerful book, wrote by Richard Bonnke. Anybody ever heard of Richard Bonnke? More of us charismatics have heard of him. He's an amazing man. Most of his ministry has been in Africa or overseas, different places. He's drawn some of the largest numbers on record of people that have been healed, and just amazing ministry. And this book is called The Link with God's Power. Faith is the link with God's power. And it's so true. And so I was searching for what the Lord has for me to bring to you, what you need, because it's not about me. It's not about what I enjoy. It's about what we need as a church body. I read the back of the book. You know how it gives you a little thing here? Let me read you some of it. Some believe that simply having faith is an entitlement to blessing and prosperity. Others believe faith in oneself is all that's needed in life. And still others contend that faith is a cosmic force that breeds superhuman, super spiritual, invincible people. It is none of that. It is none of that. Faith is not believing what you know isn't true, nor is it believing something for which there is no evidence. The Bible is a book about faith and the evidence that makes faith so vital, so important, and so astounding. Faith is the key. It's like if we considered an electrical system, we hook our house up to the grid. It's just the electrical system. Our faith is that power that comes from God to us. It's that electrical system. It's what brings the power in. It's that faith. And this has been some really hard times to have faith. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
This has been devastating times to our personal body of Christ, to the nation, to the world. 2021 is a year that many of us will never forget. Every one of us has lost something this last year. For many of us, a loved one may have died due to COVID. Some who I would consider to be the giants of the faith. We have a hard time getting our heads around this. It's easy for us to ask God why, simply because we don't understand. Listening to the prophet Isaiah, he says about understanding. Isaiah 55, 7 and 8, and this is in the King James Version. Let the wicked forsake his way. My sound guy was really, I hope we skip that. Next one. There you go. It's quite all right. It's quite all right. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let me break that down just a little bit. Let the wicked forsake his way. Receive salvation. That's what he's saying. Let the wicked receive salvation. And he said, the unrighteous man, his thoughts. Let us go. Let's let go of what we don't understand. The unrighteous man has evil thoughts and he needs to let it go. Let him return to the Lord because we don't understand. And he will have mercy on him and our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For our thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. We are not going to understand all things that happen around us. Fact is, some of the things that happen around us is pretty doggone upsetting. It just is. It affects us. It affects our families. You know, Tim, when we talk about Janice and she's, and, you know, I understand how she feels. This shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have, but it did. And now it causes pain. Same with you, Andy. It shouldn't have happened, but it does. It's called life. If we're living in this world, if we're alive, if we're breathing, things are going to happen. Look at Isaiah 55, 12, and I took this out of the Amplified. Listen to what I believe he is saying to those who have gone before us, to those saints who have died before us. He said, for you will go out from exile with joy and be led forth by the Lord himself with peace. And the mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you. And the trees of the field will clap their hands. Man, that's an amazing. I can definitely see this happening when T.Y. Atkins and Mike, you know, went before the Lord. I could see that happening. These greats, great men of God. It's an incredible time. You did. The trees are clapping their hands for the people that have gone before us. Michael Cook, Bob Wilson, all these great men in our midst here that have gone to the gates of glory. And there's many others who I'm personally aware of that one could say, well, what is God doing? These men and women seem to have such purpose and path in life. They knew where they were going and God took them. Well, like I said before, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. He's simply telling us there, you're not going to understand all things. Don't lose your faith because someone greater the faith, someone in your midst has died. Have a celebration. Believe. Trust me. We have to trust him, especially when we don't understand. And here's the reason why. We all have seasons. We all have seasons in our lives. All of us. We're all going through something. And this is what I've been trying. You mentioned Chrissy Gracie, and I've been communicating her via on, you know, text each other back and forth. And I say, Gracie, what you don't understand is this is a season that you're going through. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. And it will pass. It's a season. We all go through them. We all go through seasons in our life where nothing seems to be happening spiritually. And we could say our physical lives are a disaster, full of grief and full of pain. I'm telling you, this is to be expected. It's to be expected. When we find ourselves in a dry season, we must maintain our faith as believers, trusting in and relying on God. There are plenty of things in that word that you can pick up that you can trust and you rely on. But you see, we tend to rely more on what we can see and how we feel because we're human beings. Things like our jobs. We trust in what we've learned or what we've been trained to do. We trust in our own abilities, our God-given talent. Too often, we don't see God in what we do. We see ourselves. How about we put our trust in our spouse to take care of us, to love us unconditionally? And for many of us, that turned out to be a real disaster. Well, how can you say that, Pastor? I thought you supported marriage. I do support marriage. But people are people, and they will hurt you. And we got to remain faithful to our God, even though we're going through a very difficult time. We trust our government more to supply our Social Security checks than we trust our God as our paymaster. Oh, you want to see an insurrection? Cut Social Security, and you'll see that Capitol overrun by a bunch of 70-year-olds. We paid in hard money for that. We got to trust God, not the Social Security. We succeed when we make God and only God our confidence and our hope. His word is the doorway to what we are looking for. By studying and applying is the solution to moving through whatever situation shows up in your life. And do you realize how difficult that is to do when you're in the middle of the trial? We have to, you see, it can't be just something you hear on Sunday and go, boy, Pastor was pretty passionate about that. It has to be a lifestyle. You have to have this in you and you have to become this. When hard times come, you go to God and you go to the Word and you rely on that in tears. You're wiping away, trying to see through your tears to see what the Word of God is trying to tell you. The pain is real. But our faith, we have to maintain our faith. Now I lost my place. It doesn't matter. God can do powerful things in our life, but only when we cooperate with Him. By focusing on what he has already said, screening out all distractions. Okay, Pastor, how do you do that? I'm so glad you asked, Tyler. I'm so glad you asked. By steadfastly working your faith until you see what God has promised, and you will see results. Remember, results is finding peace. With the rest of the world is upside down. Finding the peace that surpasses all your understanding ability. Peace that surpasses understanding is strong, resolute faith and confidence. That's what peace is. Even in the middle of burying a loved one. Even in the middle of going through hard, hard times. We find peace and confidence, and we must have it no matter what the circumstances you encounter. God is faithful. God is good. God will keep you. God will provide for you. God will bless you and has. It's that faith that looks past the circumstances to God who works all things together for your good and his glory. Oh, yes, we believe that. But I've seen y'all in hard times, okay? And oftentimes we don't live it. And we have to get it inside of us. We have to get to that place where we live it, even though. How do you think the world looks at us when we're in the middle of a disaster that all can know? Maybe your house is burnt down, your spouse has died, everything. Somebody kicked your dog. I mean, it's all bad. And the world sees you still praising God, still trusting God through it all. Believe me, they need to see that. They need to see it in us. Let's look at Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Wow. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We read that and we get it all mixed up. Substance in the Greek is a Greek word called ousa. I'm not saying it pronouncedly, but hey, you got it. It's that which is actual existence, a substance, a real being. That's what substance is, real. The evidence in the Greek translation is einihi, and the definition is M, was, come, is, there is, to be, was. It's all of it. It encompasses all of it. And it encompasses conviction. So what is your conviction? Your conviction is what you believe. The evidence is the conviction of what you know is true, the real, the absolute. This is where you stand no matter what things look like. No matter what things look like. No matter what things look like, this is where you stand. This is what conviction is. Conviction is that substance, the real thing that we have to have and we have to believe. Listen to Philippians 4:7. You all know this. You quote this every day. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yes, it will. That's that scripture that if you haven't got it memorized, you better. It's that it surpasses all understanding. And it will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So all that to say, this is the title of my message. Maintaining your faith through the dry season. And if you haven't had one, well, hang on. Grab your life vest, because you will. It's coming for all of us. If we're breathing and living, it's coming. Things happen. It's life. And yes, God protects us and carries us, but you know what? It's still life. Things are still going to happen. We still get sick. We still lose loved ones. It still happens. Jeremiah 17:7-8. Blessed is the man who trusts the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will be anxious in the year of drought. Will not be anxious. Say that right. And will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. To be blessed is to be empowered with the knowledge that we win, no matter what the circumstances look like. We must ask ourselves, what are we trusting in? What are we leaning on in the midst of a dry season? We demonstrate our faith in God, and our hope and confidence is based in His Word. This brings me to point number one. God's presence is the key. God's presence is the key to overcome spiritual dryness. To overcome that time of grief, that time of pain. It's God's presence. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures furthermore." Spiritual dryness and hardness of heart both come the same way, by neglecting God's word and paying more attention to the wrong things than his word. Whatever we give our attention to is the thing that will come to pass. Do I need to say that again? Whatever we give our attention to is the thing that will come to pass. It happened to Job. He was afraid his kids were going to party and go to hell, and his fears came true. Whatever we're afraid of, whatever we're connecting ourselves to, whatever we're giving your attention to will come to pass. If we give more attention to the world and its widespread negativity, we make them our idols. And yes, fear can be an idol. Fear. And we all have it. We all deal with it. I know you're all quiet, trying to absorb this, but it's so true. We make fear our idol. It's because we're giving so much attention to it. Fear is a motivating force that our government uses, trying to move us into what they want. I don't know about you, but I'm personally sick of it all. I am sick of it. My trust is not in a vaccine nor in a mask. It's in the living word of God. Please understand, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I am a freedom fighter. Joe and I made conscious choices because we investigated it and we studied it and we prayed about it together and we got vaccinated. Right or wrong, the Holy Spirit led us to do that. If you've chose not to, you've chose not to. That's your freedom of choice, and you have the right to make that choice. The government's trying to steal that away from us. We still have our rights, and we need to choose, and we need to go to the Word of God. That's why we did what we did. Brings me to point number two. Neglecting God's Word makes us spiritually dry. Sounds like the same thing as the first point, just said a little differently. We can't neglect God's word. Proverbs 4, 27 through 20 through 27. He says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." This is God speaking to you. He says, "Do not let them depart from your eyes. Put it on the mirror in your bathroom. Hang it on the refrigerator. Put it on the dash of your car. Constantly be looking at some scripture that blesses you, something that lifts you." He says, "Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Think about that. Out of your heart, what's in your heart? What you believe. What you're giving attention to. Out of that is what spring the issues of life. Think about it. What are you afraid of? What are you living in fear of? That's what's going to happen. Because what's in your heart is what's going to metastasize itself in your life. What's in your heart is what springs out the issues of your life. And there are people around you who speak out against God's word. These are deceitful to you. Listen to verse 24. It says, "Put away from you a deceitful mouth and a perverse lips far from you." If people are talking negativity, get away from them. Stop talking to them. "Love you, brother, but I got to go. I love you, sister, but I got to go." Don't allow these people to be stealing, because you hear it and you take it in and you begin to think on it and you begin to ponder it. It becomes a problem. He goes on in verse 26. He says, "Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. There is a reason why God tells us to pay attention to His word. He wants to bring things to pass in our lives, but He cannot if we are not paying attention to Him. You know, we see all the miraculous things in the New Testament, even in the Old Testament. God's miraculous power for mankind to see. We don't see that much today, do we? God hasn't changed. He wants to heal you. He wants to touch you. Joe and I talked a lot this last week about this, and she says, you always say God can heal me from my diabetes. Do you want me to just stop taking my insulin? She said it out of a little bit of frustration. And I said, no, honey, am I crazy? Are you not understanding me? It's going to go like this. Your blood's going to stabilize and things are, you continue to take your insulin, you continue to do things right. You go to the doctor, the doctor's going to say, my goodness, everything's stabilized. You need to take a little less insulin and a little less insulin. And pretty soon the doctor's going to say, Joe, what are you doing? And you're going to say, God is healing me. That's how it happens. You don't just stop taking your medicine. You don't stop going to the doctor. My goodness, you'll die. But we still have to put our faith in Him, that He is the one who can heal us. He is the one who can change us and create what He needs in us. I brought me to Luke chapter 17. I think I told Chrissy it was 11, but it's actually chapter 17. I probably didn't have my glasses on. This is an important little bit of scripture that Jesus was talking to His disciples. Luke 17, it's 1 through 10. And I'll be honest with you, I read it and I said, really? You want me to preach that, Lord? I thought you were being kind of rude. Well, sometimes He was. But it wasn't rude at all if you understood their culture and who He was talking to. So let me read through it and then we'll pick it apart. He said, then He said to His disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come. Did you hear that? Did you see that? It is impossible that you're not going to go through hard times. It is impossible. Hard times are coming. That no offense shall come, but woe to him through whom they do come. See, this is why you need to pray for those who badly abuse you and hurt you. Because look at the next scripture. It would be better for him to have a millstone, if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones, one of my babies in Christ. You don't have to fight that battle. You need to pray that God don't throw him in the middle of the sea or her in the middle of the sea. God, forgive them. Protect them and help me to be able to forgive them. Because God's going to get them. It's in His word. He's going to take care of us. We don't have to fight that battle. He goes on in verse 3, he says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Okay, we get it. And I noticed that Jesus Himself said that if, Andy, if you offend me, it's okay for me to rebuke you. It's okay for me to say, Andy, you're all wrong about that. And you go, oh, you know what? I see it in the word. You're right. Forgive me. And I forgive him. It's important that we tell one another if something hurts you or offends you, we go to that person and say, that just wasn't right. And see what happens. He says, verse 5, is that where I'm at? 4? Where am I at?
4.
So if he sins against you 7 times in a day, 7 times, same guy, in a day, and 7 times he returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the disciples said, oh, Lord, look at verse 5. We need more faith. You need to increase our faith. How can we possibly do that? You need to increase our faith. And Jesus is just, picture this. They're walking down the road and he's teaching them, trying to get them to understand things of God. And they say something as stupid as this. You got to increase our faith. And so the Lord goes into this whole next piece that has nothing to do but faith. But when I first read it to you, you're not going to see it. So he said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted into the sea, and it should obey, and it would obey you. Verse 7, and which of you having a servant plowing, tending his sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field, come at once and sit down and eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me until I've eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he think that the servant, because he did the things that were commanded him, does he thank that servant? Jesus himself said, I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all the things which you were commanded, you should say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Okay, can I take it apart now? First time I read it, I thought, Lord, if I hired Tyler, which I have, to come work at my house, to right now it's leaves, to take care of all my leaves that are just like a foot deep over my whole property, take them all out there and burn them. And it becomes supper time. What am I going to do in our culture? Hey, Tyler, come on in and eat. That's our culture. Understand, in this culture, they had hired servants, and the servant knew ahead of time his job was to work in the field and come in at dinner time, prepare himself, prepare the food, and serve the master and his family. And when that was done, then it was his time to eat. And if he did what he was supposed to do, is the master supposed to say thank you? Certainly not. He gets paid for doing that. That's his job. And culturally, when we read this, we go, oh, Lord, that's just so rude. People at our house, if we're working, they're going to come in and eat, man. I'm going to feed them. And he said, yeah, I know. Understand, this is a hired servant. So what is he saying to his disciples? The whole premise we know is about faith. He's saying, if you only do what I command you to do, you should consider yourself unprofitable servant. If you think by coming to church and sitting here and listening to a message that stings a little bit and you know you've done your part that you should get credit, I'm sorry. This should be a lifestyle of what we do, of how we live. Faith is so important that we have and we use it every day, no matter what the circumstances look like. We're trusting God. Even if we're sick, we're trusting God. We're laying in a hospital. We're trusting God. We're at the mortuary planning a funeral of a precious one. We're trusting God. It's hard in these very difficult times. When we make a decision to give God our full attention, we have opposition that tries to pull us away from the Word. We do not need more faith. We simply need to work the faith we have. We must have faith, and we must keep our faith working in the field until the job is done. Well, when is the job done? When we go home. That's when the job's done. We don't come to church and say, God, give me credit. I'm a good Christian. I come to church on Sunday. No, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be ministering outside of this place. You're supposed to be talking to your neighbors, your family. They should think you're a fruitcake because you always talk about Jesus. And there's limitations to that, I understand. But it's a lifestyle. It becomes who we are. He says in Hebrews, I think I'm in Hebrews. Tony, you've been studying in Hebrews, and I got something in Hebrews here. Hebrews 10, 35 through 39, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. What is he saying? You're going through this hard time. Don't cast out your faith. Don't cast out your confidence in God. I know it hurts. I know it's painful. I know you're going through a hard time, but don't cast out your faith. For you will have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Verse 37 says, for yet a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, this one almost hurts me to read. My soul has no pleasure in him. Does that affect you like it does me? When we draw back from God and we get in the midst of our pity party and our suffering and we're thinking God's not hearing our prayers, he's not doing anything, that he has no pleasure in me. In that place, he has no pleasure in me. Oh my gosh. I don't want to go there again. Because I've been there. Believe me, people, I have shouted out to God my anger and my frustration. Why? Because I didn't understand. He says in verse 39, but we are not those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. If you're drawing back, who's he talking about? Wouldn't that be believers? The Bible is nice about using the word perdition. You know what that is? Talking about hell. We don't draw back to hell because that's what potentially could happen to us. Yes, we're saved by faith and we're saved forever. But you know what? We can draw out. You can pull it out. Because you've been hurt so badly, so devastatingly, it's just destroyed. And you can literally pull it out of God's hands and take it to hell with you. You can do that. It's in the Word. It's right there. We're saved, but we can do this. Verse 39 says, but we who are not those who draw back to hell, perdition, but those who believe to the saving of our soul. Our faith saves us. And we must not just call on it because we don't see it working. We know it's working even when we can't see it. It may take months, it may take even years, but it will accomplish what he has sent it out to accomplish. No matter what. We must not give up, cave in, or quit. Our faith will be the reward when it becomes our patience. Patience is defined as being consistently, constantly the same. That's how we're supposed to be. Consistently, constantly the same. Even in the midst of really hard times. Even in the midst when it's not going right. Still consistently, constantly the same. With that faith holding us. And operates in us. I have another whole page, but I'm going to stop because the Holy Spirit's telling me that that's enough. But let me go to point number three. Faith is not synonymous with our feelings. Synonymous, the same as. You know what faith is synonymous with? If I had a coin, I should have gotten me like a silver dollar. It's two sides of the same coin. Faith and fear. Faith and fear. Same coin. Whatever your faith connects you to is to God. Whatever you're afraid of is connecting you to that. Faith and fear are synonymous with each other. Not faith and how you feel. Well, I feel so hurt. Well, you're going to because it does hurt. I'm sorry. It's to be expected. You're going through a hard time. And I'm going to cry with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to talk you through it. But our faith needs to remain strong and not give up on it. Fine, I'm just going to go back to drinking because I felt better when I was drinking. Till you woke up the next morning. And then you find yourself deeper in the pit than you did before. It just continues on. This is a tough message, and for the next 4 weeks, you know, don't run off, because it's going to get tough. Saying that we're a church full of faith believers, it's a lot more to do than it is to say. Because we got to be strong in the midst of really difficult times. And are we in the middle of difficult times?
Yeah.
We have people in our church that are out due to COVID that could kill them. And we go, Lord, why? Why? We pay our tithes. We come to church. Oh, shut up. Faith. God is working something in each and every one of us and them. The thing that's out there is real. And it's happening. We need our faith now more than ever. We need to strengthen our faith. Because there are some things coming that we can't even talk about. And yet I know they're coming. They're coming. Some of it I hope I say, Lord, take me home before I have to see it. Just take me. Lord, come, return for your church. But obviously he's not ready yet. He's got things that have to be accomplished. Churches that have to stand on their faith alone in him. Tony, could you come back? We're going to have communion. I wanted to continue through with the podcast going because I want people that are listening to the podcast, like I know the Whitakers, they're anxious to pick up the podcast. I want them to go to their, right now to the refrigerator and get a little bit of juice or a little bit of water, get a little cracker, a piece of bread. I don't care. Those are just symbols, but I want you to do this with me. Jim and Tim and Marvin and Jason, would you help me serve? You know what, Tony? Do you want to just stay down here and have communion with us, not worry about music? That would be fine with me, too. Yeah, come on down. And this, Marvin, go ahead and pass out. I'm going to let you pass out both elements. And we'll take one down here. And as you guys have them in your hands, then we will pray over them. And then let's go ahead. Yeah, we're going to pass them out now, too.
Okay.
Yeah, let me take that. Give that to Jason. I'll take that. And go ahead and just pass out. Make sure everybody has their elements. For those of you who are note takers, I was going to finish this out with 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8. You can read that as your homework. There's nothing more precious than communion. There's nothing more important. And if you've been struggling, this is a beautiful thing about communion, because we're all going to do it together. If you've been struggling with a little bit of fear, maybe you have a child that's out there not living the way they should live, and we get scared inside, but our faith doesn't allow that. Faith is connected to God. And we have to remember that it's connected to God. Thank you, sir. And when we take communion, and all those who are listening, if you take communion with us, you're partaking with us, there's nothing more important than this. It's remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us. Got it. Whatever you're holding in your hand for your body of Christ, this is a little cracker. His body was broken and bruised and beaten, all for you, all for me. He was the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice. And he knew that we were going to struggle with our faith. He knew it. These people are going to struggle with this. They're going to have a hard time with it. That's why he gave us what he gave us. We don't have to be thanked for being a Christian. It just becomes who we are. This is who we are. This is how I believe. This is where I am. Do I go through hard times like the rest of the world? Yes, I do. And so do you. We all go through hard times. But it's God who brings us through. Without him, I would have thrown a towel in a long time ago and ended it. I've been through too much. But God has always been there. There's always been a plan and a purpose for everything he does. So Heavenly Father, we hold this little symbol of your body. And we pray that you will help us to remember all that you've done, all that you've been through and suffered through, just so we could see and know and understand faith. Father, we ask you to bless us again, to forgive us, to wash us in Jesus' name as we take and eat. Amen. Now, those of you that are at home, you have a little cup of juice, a cup of water, a cup of milk. Well, I got a little bit of whiskey, Pastor. I don't care what it is. It's what's in your heart, what you're representing. This represents the blood of Christ that was shed for you and me. It's the blood of Christ that was poured out on the ground, that washes us clean. This is it. This is what our salvation is. This is it. This blood. Oh, for all of you that are listening, you think, well, that's kind of gross. He's talking about blood. Oh, yeah, the blood of Jesus is what washes us clean. And Father, I'm a sinner. Father, I ask you to forgive me again and to help me in this whole faith thing. The Father, that I stop putting it down and stop concentrating and seeing what the world tells me to see and believe. Father, just to keep my eyes on you. Help me, Father. Help me with my faith. Just like the disciples said, God, you're going to have to increase our faith. Father, you've given us faith. And it's up to us to increase it by strengthening it and growing it. Help us to do that. Help us to grow our faith. In Jesus' name, take and drink. Now, Tony, you can go to the piano. I praise God for what God is dealing with me. And I don't know if anybody here has been dealing with fear. I think we all have, to a degree. If you watch the news, I try not to, you know. I try to catch the weather, you know. But the rest of it, I really could care less about. But yet we should care to the point we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. It's hard for me to say, God bless Biden. That's hard. Okay? I'm sorry. But God, don't put a millstone around his neck and throw him into the sea either. Whether I like it or not, he is my president. I'm still part of this country. And I believe that, God, you're in control of this country, even when there's someone there that I think is an idiot.